Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Action Podcast on a Celtic Now and Forever podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford. Today I'm joined by a new guest on the panel, Jack, and a regular on the panel, Robert Boyle. Jack, Robert, how are you doing, lads?
Hi, good, mate. Cheers for inviting us on. Look forward to it, lads. Cheers.
And yourself, Rab?
Okay at the moment in time, but I'm going to figure it at the moment in time. But a bit angry at the moment, but we'll get on to that in the near future.
We always start the podcast, so I'm no bad, but inside, we're always the new, we're fucking reeling. But obviously, Jack, since you're just on, mate, your initial thoughts after the game, I know it's going to be a bit bleak, but what was your kind of first afterthought after the final whistle?
Well, before the game even started, Ryan, mate, I don't know about you, but I had the feeling that we were lucky to even get a point here. After the final whistle, just the way Lennon walked away, he put his head down, and it was as if to say, for once, he knew that was it, time. But he just came out and said after the game, and that doesn't look like that's going to happen. People forget he's got a family to look after. He's a millionaire as it is. He'll want to rather get sacked, get his paycheck and then go. He's not going to work. If he would, he'd go by now. I think it was back in October, November time. He said if things weren't going his way, he would step down for the best initiatives of the club. But that's not happened. Before half-time, Ayer had that chance to go 3-1 up, didn't he? As soon as he missed that, I said to myself, "Now that's going to come back to bite us in the arse." And it did. It's just been the same feeling the last 3 months at the final whistle. But it's been, isn't it? It's not going to get better. Each week's just going to get worse and worse. And the other side's just going to get better and better. And they're just laughing at us now. It's murder. There's no other word for it. It's absolutely murder, mate.
There's obviously, we all know they're doing well, right? I mean, you don't want to talk about them, but they are, right? But I've kind of said, people might say I'm bitter or I'm biased or whatever, but we have not given a challenge. We have not started this season. I understand they're playing well and they're scoring goals. They've not lost a game. But the last few weeks, they have been dropping a wee bit and we've not took any advantage if we could have, in my opinion. And the league is finished. It is, unless it's a fucking miracle. Aye. It is, but you're always going to have a bit of eight-drop points. Right? Get a win. We've dropped basically 9 points or something the last 3 games. If you had any fight in you... In my opinion, if you had any fight in you, you'd be trying to win the games and try to put a statement in it.
And people keep saying, what if we win more games in Horn? First of all, we couldn't win more games in general. And that was our first game in Horn. We've no won it. I think Rangers, don't want to bring them up in that, but they're playing just like Liverpool did last season. Nobody could get near them. Nobody could touch them. Towards the end of the season, Man City got at the bottom, like 5-0 in the league. Now they're eventually kicking on, but we're just continually doing grading this year and it comes from the top right to the bottom. And at first, they did a... August transfer window, well, it extended, didn't it, with lockdown. You're like, well, Turnbull, Ajeti for West Ham, big backlash, you're like, superb. And I still think if Turnbull was in the team for the first game of the season, I don't think we'd be that, but I think we'd be up there, maybe 4 or 5 points off, rather than 20-odd, mate. So it comes from the manager. You don't want to put more pressure on him, but you need to be a bigger man sometimes, and he should have worked, you know, for the best intentions of the club.
And yourself, Robert, I know it's a bit bleak again, mate, but it's just, it's very hard to take it in the way it's been going.
I said in the last podcast, Ryan, if you remember, I didn't think we were going to get a result there. And I didn't say it because I didn't want us to get a result. By all means, I would give my left leg to get a result just to get Celtic back at winning ways, but just the way the team is, the way the management is. I just feel it's just one big slippery slope, and I don't think it's the end yet, because he's no intentions of leaving, is he? Let's be honest. His statement today, he still reckons that only 5 weeks ago he won a treble, which is for last season, let's remember. That's nothing to do with this season, and it was extra time against a championship team, which we've got to remember as well. Blew a couple of goal lead. To me, it's stale, it's predictive, it's so hard to watch on the eye, and we're conceding goals constantly. 14 out of 17 goals has came from cross balls into our box. Does that not tell you that what we're doing as a unit, as a team, as his coaching, isn't working, because we can't defend balls into the box, and every team now latches on to, you don't need to be great against Celtic, you just need to be able to get balls into the box and you'll get joy out of one of them. Like the first goal was, to me, it's amateurish. It's
not even schoolboy stuff. If I had two times in a school game, it would really look after that. We keep doing it week after week. That's the thing. It's crazy.
It was shambolic. Defending again, a big iron, I think it was. It switched off and the boy just ran in behind him and just, it was a simple header. It wasn't he right in the corner, right in the top corner, right in the bottom corner. It was literally just to the right-hand side of the goal. And the goalkeeper's positioning for me is really, really, really poor. And the goalkeeper, I want to go in and talk about a wee bit, because I don't want to be a guy that criticises him, but for me, he's no a goalkeeper. I don't know what he is, but he's just a guy in a goalkeeping tap stone in the middle of goals for me. He's very poor. I've not seen him coming for a lot of close balls. He does come for the odd couple. His footwork's no great on the ball. His shot stopping is non-existent, in my opinion. I'm just going to go into a couple of wee things I've not done about Barkas, because I've kind of tried to study on it, because his last four games, he's had six shots against them. He's conceded four goals. St Johnston, Rangers, Livingston, he failed to make a save and conceded four goals. Save percentage is the fourth worst in the SPL, behind the Livingston goalkeeper, the St Johnston goalkeeper, and the Hamilton goalkeeper. 46% save rate he's got compared to McGregor at Rangers at 80% save rate. To me, that is a Hazard and Baines better than him. Hazard, for me, is the best goalkeeper out of the freedom. He's a young boy, he makes mistakes, but at least he makes saves, in my opinion. Aye, he's terrible for coming for crosses, he's a young boy, but we're not going to invest in a goalkeeper in January. For me, I gave all hope up in Barkas, to be honest with you. That might sound a bit premature, and obviously the defence isn't playing very well, but for me, I don't know what you think. I don't rate the guy very much at all. I just think his positioning sense is terrible. He's no vocal enough, and I don't know anything that he's actually got good attributes on.
I just think I can agree with Robert. I think I was a big advocate again in a bit of time, obviously coming from a foreign country and not really knowing anybody. The language barrier, the usual shit that you get with foreign players can win, the big transfer fee. Obviously, we had Sammy on before, and Sammy spoke about in an old podcast that he knew a guy who was Greek, his neighbour, and the neighbour says, aye, he's probably our best player, he would go for a bit of money, but he didn't think £5 million before, that was a bit much, but he says he's a good goalkeeper, he'll do well for his. And I was about like, game time, and now I'm just like, I can't give him time any longer. The same as other guys like Shane Duffy and guys like that. Maxwell, again, Taylor, for me, I know people talk about Taylor, but going forward, in general, for me, they're not good enough if we were to guess the club. But Barkas, on that, mate, I don't know what Jack thinks of Barkas, but if it was maybe £1 million, you maybe go, oh, it's just £1 million, but it's the fact we broke manager number one, £5 million. We've all went, as Jack says, at the start of the summer, Tumbo, Ayeti, brilliant. Oh, he'll come good. Goalkeeper for Athens, Champions League pedigree, brilliant. Just like Duffy and all, it's just failed.
See, talking about Duffy, Ryan, and at the end of last season, when the lockdown happened, the Premier League got stopped and it came back, and I wasn't working or anything, so I watched a lot of Aston Villa, I watched a lot of Brighton games. And you can see, in this season, I've watched a lot of Brighton. I watched one of their games. They were right at Crystal Palace. We're on the back foot. then the second half they came out, they were playing good stuff. They got a point at the end, should have won a game. And just for watching that 45 minutes, you can see how Duffy's known their team, because they're actually playing football, they're moving, they're high up, they're pressing. He can't handle that. Look, see last night, he looked the ball and he nearly scored an OG, nearly went to the net. But you're like, yeah, that doesn't happen. Rob, that wouldn't happen, you playing on a Sunday doing at Greenfield. Do you know what I mean? And if it did, you'd be hooked. And that's happening every single week. You feel bad for a guy, you're like that, but gets to a point, you're like, it's like Mr. Blob at the back at times, isn't he? Honestly, it's hard to watch, man. And
see, I don't like criticising football players because I'm not that level, right?
They're getting paid that money, mate. It's a difference.
I don't like to criticise my own team and professionals, my own team, but we've obviously talked about Barkas and who, but we're going to Duffy. But I don't like criticising players. I don't like to come on here or sit in a pub, obviously, the new because of the situation, but in general, and slaughter my team. Because at the end of the day, they're kind of like your idols in a way. You fight to see them. But it's very hard to watch mistakes. If I made that, as you say, on a Saturday or a Sunday, I'd be getting my boys, because I'd be getting asked apart. Do you know what I mean? So I agree with Robert. I think Barkas is. I don't think we'll sign a goalkeeper this January, but in the summer, it's one of the. It's probably the main position we need to get right, because for me, it totally leads onto your defence, your midfield, your striker. It totally derails your full team if your goalie's no on form.
See, talking of goalkeepers, it was a big gamble paying that money for somebody that doesn't know the league. I played at Parkin maybe one or two times, the Champions League qualifiers and stuff like that, and played really well. But I'm not so long ago, but see a big Marciano for Hibs. Mm-hmm. I would have maybe gave Hibs, say, 500 grand to a million, take him. And if we did sign him, you could, no build, you don't want to build the team around Elhamid and Beaton, right? But if we did bring him in, say Elhamid at right back, Beaton if he needs to cover at centre back, which he shouldn't have been in the first place, or centre mid, just a wee, good, what's the word? Good. Oh, what's that one, aren't you? Like congestion and stuff like that.
Aye, mate.
I don't know, but that was a big chance, and he doesn't look confident. I don't know if it's just his face, his expression, the emotion, but he doesn't. In a way, he looks like a big guy to be up for it. Maybe something about him, but it's just been nothing. Thing is, he said one good game about Ross County, and people like that. Oh, he's a brilliant keeper. He's brilliant. But see, for a Celtic goalie, you can't be judged by a game at Ross County if you've played brilliant. Needs to be the games at Ibrox and the cup games, and they couldn't even get a game in the cup final. So that really says it all, doesn't it?
For me on this, your goalkeeper's got to have a some sort of character. You know what I mean? Like a Schmeichel, a Boric, a guy like that. I'm not saying you get a lot of them doing the modern football, but a goalkeeper's got to be kind of a bit, let's say, aphysied, because to be a goalkeeper, you need to be brave, you need to be out in people's feet, you need to come for crosses, you need to have a stature about you, and he's like a quiet boy in the classroom. Now, like, a new boy comes in, starts in your school, and he doesn't talk, and he's just standing in the corner. To me, that's the type of guy he looks. He doesn't look like a guy who would mingle with the first team squad, get involved in things. He probably a lot of homesickness and stuff like that behind him. I'm not saying the guy won't come good, but right now, I just wouldn't play him because we're obviously dreadful and he's no help matters, and the guy's obviously going to take a lot of criticism as the rest of the team's taking at the moment in time.
I can see as well with Barkas, obviously Greek, right? And most Greeks, they are friendly, but they've got a nasty side to them. Greeks are, all these foreign boys are, Some of them are heavy-handed, you know what I mean? And as you say, he's a bit of a nutter.
Well, that switch.
Aye, they've got a switch. Like, people might know, like, you're talking about Rangers on Celtic podcast, but Alan McGregor is a top-draw goalkeeper, and he is a bit of a nutter because he's a winner. I see our full team, right? Lennon says in interviews, it's the same training, it's the same philosophy. It says, well, something's changed because they players don't turn bad players there, right? See Shane Duffy, right? People are saying he might not play with Brighton, mate, but he's an experienced internationalist. He's the captain of Ireland. He's came here, and again, he's regressed, just like a lot of players have regressed. McGregor's regressed. Fucking Delhamid's regressed. You guys have just regressing all the time under Lennon.
Edwards,
I guess. So, it tells you something that something's not right. And I watched an interview as well. It was this morning, I seen it. Somebody put it up on Twitter. It was an interview with Lennon when he was at Bolton, and it was coming to time near Bolton. I'll need to find it and I'll send you it. He was basically saying, see what he said last night about, I don't know what's happening. If it, is it a mentality? Is it a this? Is it, he was basically saying the same spiel. And I think that's a guy, he knows he's lost it. He's just got to be honest and go, I can't do it anymore. Because guys like Shane Duffy, Captain Ireland, and he's, I think there was three guys made their debut last night or something for Livingston.
If just, Ambrose is rested after the game, fine. Martindale was up, he's got his big cap, he's just checked on his buzzing, you're like,
that's the thing for me. We played Livingston reserves last night. They dropped seven players last night. So it's a reserve team for Livingston with a budget of about 150 grand, probably.
Spend Gene Duffy's on merely put together, probably. You know what I mean?
He's spending players to me, and the guy who's managing him hasn't any managerial experience, and he's just got two draws against us. He was an
good on the guy, man. He's flying, isn't he?
Who's come through a rehabilitation program and getting to management, which I'm not saying is anything wrong with that. I'm all the best of luck to the guy because he seems like a genuine guy. Obviously, had a lot of trouble in his past and he's moved on for it. But for me, a guy who's no managerial experience, who's just been flung in at the deep end at Livingston, got a couple of good results, then draws with nine in a row, champions twice in the matter of 5 days, that's no good enough for me. That's
100%.
There's a fact on Stuart Ketterwell and Lennon's record. I'm going to just try and find it here, right?
I seen that on Twitter yesterday, Rab, actually. I know what I've thought about.
2 seconds just to try and find this, right? Just to see these records, right? 2 seconds.
I was something with you.
Stuart Ketterwell was sacked for winning 7 games in 24 this season at Ross County. Gary Holt resigned after a poor start to the season. Neil Lennon has won 7 in 22 and he's still Celtic manager.
Look at Robinson, all the Northern manager. Winning
7 in 19. Our record now is down there with maybe a Kilmarnock or a...
disgraceful one, is it?
A bit. Kilmarnock, probably Livingston, Hamilton's record at this moment in time. And we are closer to 6 than we are to top of the league.
Yeah,
what does that tell you?
The fact that he's still winning, Joe, but he's no work. If you love something, it's hard to walk away from it, but gets to a point you need to think what's best for everybody. Nobody's big on the club, don't they know? So that's what it should come, don't they? And that comes for the board as well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Know what I mean? They're all pal acting that. So it's like Sutton, he wasn't seeing Leather out until it got too late. He was backing up his pal, wasn't he? So gets to a point you need to face the facts, do you know what I mean?
Because obviously Shane Duffy has been getting a lot of criticism. And again, last night, I thought we started all right. I think you've seen right away the difference to playing the first teamers right away for the youth. They were taking the game to Livingston and then silly fouls again. Duffy, why are you making a foul there?
Latin's out against Sibs and then Duffy last night, man.
I know it's like 40, 50 yards to your goal, but still, the way we are defending and the way we press up high when we're defending, it's just ridiculous how it was so simple and how... We can't. What are we doing at training to work on that? Because see, at any level of football, if you do something wrong, the first thing you do at training is you work on what you've done wrong. So,
sorry.
For me, I've spoken about it in podcasts before. At Arsenal with George Graham, all he done for days or hours was focus on shape defending, and Arsenal were the best teams at that time, and that's why they won all that trophies under him. It's for me. I just don't know where to go when it comes to defence because I feel for Ayer. I thought Ayer's for me has been one of your best players this year, and I'm starting to actually really rate him in a way, and I think he will go for decent money. I think that's maybe if we don't qualify for Europe next year, I think 2 or 3 year signings might cover a back, but you shouldn't be expecting that to give you money. But the defence for me is, I know people say Taylor had a good game, but see going forward, Greg Taylor for me is not going to be good enough. Nobody will convince me that he's good enough to play with Celtic every week, especially in Europe. If I'm too critical, then fair enough. But going forward, we need to sign better defenders because it's just not good enough the way we've been playing.
It's like we frimpong the same. See the amount of times Ibrox will get in the final third, and then it's like it rushes to his head, it gets too excited because his feet are that fast. See if he'd up a bit of composure. Like Tierney was good. Tierney just always whip it across the face. Sometimes he'd cut it back to the edge, but it's Roger and McGregor gone onto it. But now it's just a case of whim that in or too high, and it's, if it's no Taylor, it's frimpong. And I to be honest, mate, don't disagree, but I like Taylor. But in going forward, he's no the answer. And for Celtic, he's no. I think in the league can get away with it, but for you, like we're playing Champions League football, get 60,000 playing the likes of Barcelona and all that again. We need to spend, mate. That's when it comes, doesn't it? It comes down to spending, doesn't it? And signing guys for Kilmarnock and that, it's no good to the job, is it?
But let's talk about, you're talking about these two players in particular, right? And we've talked about players regressing under Neil Lennon and his management. Brendan Rodgers get better out of all your players, made them all better. He made Tierney better. He made Carl McGregor better. He made Rodgers better. He made Armstrong better. What's to say the new manager comes in and they're young enough and they're no bad at what they do, but to take them to the next level with the right manager could maybe get Frimpong doing good crosses. Could have Greg Taylor get me a forward, son. You're good at defending. You don't need to. I'm letting you off a leash. Get forward. David Tierney done. Maybe that's just what we need. Is it?
He just sent a back to do that, but didn't he?
Players there who are half decent, good, but in a poor team. But it needs a light off a leash. Scott Brown again was finished until Rodgers came in. Rodgers gave him a new lease of life. So maybe if we do appoint the right manager, it might bring these players on. Don't get me wrong, there'll be a lot of players there that will be shipped out and will just redeemed no good enough. But a manager can make or break players. Give them confidence and bring them on. It just might be something like that. Frimpong's young enough. Taylor's probably young enough. Aye, the two of them have got a lot of faults, but they're young enough to be improved with the right manager and the right setup.
I think all the boys, I think they just need a new face, a new lift. You know, it's like sometimes it's you need that in life. It could be a job you're not enjoying it, somebody else new comes in, or even at your team, a new boy comes in, it lifts the spirits, and it makes the competition better as well. We fight for places, Mel. No, it's like, I think Lennon was maybe too faithful to Brown and Cham at the start, wouldn't he? Then eventually brought in M. Sorrow and Tumble, when it was probably too late. So that new face, could, as you say, Rab, could bring boys like Taylor and Frimpong on, maybe give them a wee kickstart that they need, mate. Do you know what I mean? So it's needed, but 100% it's needed.
I agree with you, Robert. As much as I might know rate Taylor and Duffy or Frimpong, whatever, if you get a better coach... And I think if you coach them better under your philosophy, I think definitely they'll get better. That's just, it's going to happen, especially because you've seen it with Rodgers, as you say, he took it by his team, and you guys like Armstrong and Mackay Stevens, guys like that, and you thought, they're all right. Armstrong, just look at him now, what he's doing. And that's all for getting coached properly into how to do the right stuff. I think Frimpong, he's not a right back for me. I think he's a winger. And I think if he gets taught, it sounds daft how to cross a ball properly and get in the final third and do damage. I think he will be brilliant, but he's going to get to that level by getting coached. And for me, under Neil Lennon, he's not going to get that level. And I think it's going to deteriorate his development. See, as we've spoken about, obviously, we're sending guys out on loan, bring them back in and out again. But development's just going to keep getting stalled. And I think we need to definitely get a new face in, because it's only going to get worse, and the longer it goes, for me, the longer it's going to take to fix it. And we've not got a long time to fix it when the qualifiers come up in a few months' time.
Sorry, still got a Scottish Cup to play for, but I don't see any chance we would probably get beat for Livingston or Ross County in that again. Do you know what I mean? If they drop names, so it's needed. And you see, every week it's getting worse and worse, and it's embarrassing. This we've won, we need to be grateful we've won Everton the last 9 years. Then last night, you're like, are we unlucky at times at 2-1 up for 10 minutes? We're flying. Good moves, good B1-2s. Ayer gets that chance. If he scores, it might have been going on 4-5-1, but you miss that, then you know it's going to come back to bite us, and it does. And that's been the story of our season. And it just needs change. Look at Bayern Munich. Did they not sack their manager when it was in the world? Mm-hmm. Right, and do you know what I mean? They're going for it as well. So
PSG sacked Tuchel.
Aye, mate. It's Pochettino just got there, and then they won a trophy, left the team spirits again. Juve and all, Nupilo's a manager, they've just won something there as well. I think last night they won it, one of the cups, Super Cup or something. So it's needed, aye mate, it's needed, man, big time.
It just needs a refreshing. I think a lot of the players are stale under him, and that's just simply it. It's stale under the management, the coaching staff. Probably players don't want to be there now, and a lot of players are just probably playing as individuals, and a lot of players are wanting to get out of there. You know what I mean? So,
Brian, see, at the start of the season, they came at the press conference and they said players have approached him, telling them they wanted to leave. And then after that, not one player left, and you think yourself, who was it? But then rumours came out that it was apparently Chris Tyre, maybe Nietzsche or something. So why play him? Obviously, is it to try and get my money from him in January or summer? But see, if players said that to you, you'd be like, from chase yourself. I want people that know what it means and want to make a scene that's successful, really. Didn't it all start for that? But I think that's one of the reasons. When you think back, you think, it's not being right. Then why did they want to leave? Do you know what I mean? If they want to leave, it's probably other people as well that we've not heard about. So it's no good.
It looks like a split dressing room, doesn't it, with players? I know there's not a big rift, but doesn't it look like a lot of players are on the same hymn sheet or going in the same direction?
I can tell. Off miles.
It looks like cliques. Looks like a wee cliques or just in the rain wee bubbles type of thing to me. I mean, when Scott Brown last night, I don't know if you were going to talk about that, Ryan, but to me, he came on and could not be arsed on the park. Got yourself sent off and walked off.
Laughing, but
going in a charity match or something. To me, that's what it looked like. He didn't really give two monkeys. And
the UFC is known to Saturdays, you know what I mean? He thought it was last night. A spinning elbow, man. What's he doing, man? What's he doing?
Your club captain, and I get he's frustrated and playing, but today that was just absolute stupidity. And if I was Neil Lennon, I'd have come out and slated him. Like, my club captain, I'm trying to get him back in the team, and he goes and lets the team down. He didn't slate him because it's his mate, but anybody else in the team had done that last night, Lennon would have been out and gave them dogs abuse. I think that's because it's a pals activator.
You seen him before he went home, Lennon's like, packing your back, you seen before he gets slain, but hurt him own, man. Gavin Stratton, look off, don't you get started on him, man, honestly, to look at your eye, but it's snowing, couldn't you see your iPad? It's covered in snow, and he's sitting showing his iPad.
All you need to do is tell the guy what to do. All that should be done. I know football's moving on and it's all about technology and this and that and sports scientists, all that shit. But you don't need an iPad to tell you what. Scott Brown doesn't need to be told what to do. He's done it for fucking 10 years, what, 12 years?
No, hang on, mate. My dad said, I see when you're going for the biggest season in your lifetime, in any Celtic fan's lifetime, and you would give up for a season, right? Where if we don't win something for the next 9 years, but they don't win 10, right? We win 10. In fact, you would do anything for it. See the fact that you get an assistant coach in for League One in Peterborough, right? Is that not really? Aye, because he's daft, but should you not be in for hire? And I do coach myself. People that don't, like what Martindale, don't play. I love to see them getting high up in football. But see, when it's this one season, surely you'd be breaking the bank to get another coach in. Even though Lennon should have probably been the manager this year anyway, and he came in for Odds, should have been that few months spell, get league in the treble that season, then he wouldn't have been here. But when we're going for 10 in a row, bring that guy in for Peterborough. And when he came in, we thought we were getting that Tony, that then went to Brentford. Apparently, he loved that Stratton. We didn't get him. Brentford got him. Now he's absolutely flying. His goals ratio's down there is superb, so that's another miss. But and the Celtic fans, all you see is Twitter notes, Gavin Strachan, you saw the memes are slagging him. So again, it comes for that again. It's decision-making, bringing a guy for Peterborough. Do you really think Scott Brown and when that young boy, what's his name, Okoflex, had the AirPods on listening to Lennon, was listening to Strachan when he's giving him instructions?
I know.
It's just why he got on the pitch, man. Do you know what I mean? It's the club a red neck. I know it's the way football goes now, but just, it's no right, in my opinion, to be honest.
I see you're talking about Brown, Robert. Aye, definitely. Because, see, for me, I know we're maybe going ahead ourselves talking about Brown here when it comes to subs, but why isn't he put him on? Doesn't need for Brown to go in the park? No need for him. And then he's taking Tumble off, and he's taken Ayer off, and he's kept Christie. See for their goal, Christie was shocking. He tried to do the boy.
That's anonymous,
man. He tried to do the boy. I thought he tried to do the boy. He was a coward, man. Why not just stop it close? And stop it close and that doesn't happen. And then you're putting pressure on your defence who can't defend them. And the goal was a shambles, how it went in. It's a joke. But again, I just think...
It was poor for
back with Christie was shocking.
See, gone. Back to the game with Libby. See the big guy, big jet, Jemaine Thomas, who scored just about Arsenal years ago in that.
Mm-hmm.
See the game at Parkhead at the weekend there. See if he was on, if he came on, I think they would have bet us. I think they would have bullied our centre backs. Because he was just strolling about and fair play to the big guy. He was defending well. Then they got his chance and they took it. But then again, Lenny putting Brown on. At the start of the season, he put Brown on the last, was it 10 minutes at St Johnstone? We went 2-0 up. So you go, right, fair play if you're doing that again. But then the Hibs game, when we drew one each, it was that when Tumble scored the free kick.
Mm-hmm.
The last 10, 12 minutes, we'll see when Tumble gets a chance like that towards the end of the game. In your head's a manager, you think, I've got one of my star players, one of the best young Scottish prospects in football. I'll keep him on in case we get a chance. Why take him off? Why not take Christie off? He's been anonymous. So if you're going back as a manager and you're thinking, I'm going to put Scott Brown on. Start of season, I put him on. He gave the team a kick up the jacks they need. They went and scored two goals. But I'm taking Tumble off, who can win a game like Garrett or score a class free kick. Or make something happen for a set piece. You're like, Garrett, it doesn't add up. And that's just poor coaching. It doesn't add up. It's one thing or other, and it's no good. We some points like Garrett. So it's...
See, yesterday, the league's gone, right? It's gone, but you're drawing two each, right? A draw is no use. It's more or less a disaster because it's just putting more pressure on you. But a draw, a defeat, it's no much difference, right? So why does he not take one of the players at the back half and put a Yeti on and just go three up front? And that way, you go, at least you know what he was trying to do. He was trying to win the game, and if they sucker punch you at least know what he's trying to do. See, that's like for like, bringing one player up, bringing another guy on, like for like. And as you say, Ayer was quite rampant down the right-hand side attacking. He's nullified that. He's put Frimpong on, but obviously he's trying to get his pace. Didn't he work? Brings Brown on for Soro. I don't know why. Take Soro off, put a Yeti on if that's the case. Try and go for it. Try and expand it a wee bit. It was just too many like for likes. And you're not going to get away with that in football because you need to have something different and try and mix up a bit. Put pressure on their defence with three strikers up there. It just, he's not got a clue, man. That's something.
Ayer's playing well when he went in that big run. Ayer's at right back, but see if he's having a good game. Why not take one of the centre backs off, Beaton or Duffy? Player, I know he's wanting to keep his centre backs compound and get used to each other, but I would have rather took one of them after an Ayer, after, to be honest.
Put him in at centre half and put Frimpong right back.
Exactly,
and
mate.
Help out for the back because he's good at that with the ball.
But he could have played just three at the back last night, the way they're playing.
That's what I mean.
Again, it's poor coaching, poor decision making.
If you see the subs and all, see if you're a Yeti, you must be like, what the fuck am I doing here? I understand he's came from West Ham, he didn't play a lot, and Lenny said he's got to get fit. He can't get fit if he's sitting on the bench. Your Kamara's had a few chances. Again, I'm going. The only judgment I've really got on any signings is Barkas and Duffy, right? I'm going to preserve my judgment on Kamara and Ayeti until you get a fully capable manager who's coaching. So I think Ayeti will score your goals. Seen him for Basel, he was brilliant. Well, and they said the two of them lined up. And you can see that briefly when they play with each other. You seen it in Lille. They were brilliant with each other. I thought Ayeti played well. Again, Lille played well, and then the next day he's in the bench.
Nice.
As you say, Jack, it's poor coaching and poor management. Because I know there's rumours about the board signing players, but Lenny's come in an interview and says, aye, I spoke to Yeti, I've been watching for a year. So right away, you're taking the flak for if somebody's failing.
See, the thing about Ryan Seaman, he says he's watching for a year. How could he be watching for a year when only played a few games at West Ham? You know what I mean? So it's...
Exactly.
Can I just go for... And see, I think he has got a bit of his goal last night. And go, I think he's got a wee bit of class about him, but I think he's a type of player that needs coached.
Aye.
He needs... See, when he goes back to Southampton, if he gets a shot, see, the manager, I really like him. He was at Leipzig before, and I'm surprised he went to Southampton. I think he could actually do well with Southampton if he goes back next year. Might be their manager if he gives him a wee bash at it. But some players just need coached. And Lennon, you don't know when he played, it was that simple, but how good he was, the team he played with. It reminds me of sometimes Roy Keane. Roy Keane couldn't really manage at top level because he was too good a player.
Mm-hmm.
He would just expect players to do that. I think, in a way, Lennon's the same. Because I may go away with it last year because Rangers came back from Dubai and he made an arse by herself on the rendering fall. This season, the only person for Stoke is winning the league is ourselves. And it has been fair play to them, they've been flying, but look at our daft mistakes week in, week out. It's what it is, man.
But it's easy to play with no fans and no pressure.
That's what my dad said. If the fans are going to let it happen.
As much as they've been all right, they're playing with no pressure and no fans, and we're not letting them fucking. We're not giving them any pressure.
It's about time
so they can every game and play how they want. Yeah. I think, in my own opinion, I think if we were right up their arses, neck and neck, and giving it a go, they would falter because they wouldn't deal with pressure because they've never dealt with pressure.
But as we can't say the what if and buts, the Rangers fans saying, oh, 1 year you've had a team coaches and you've bottled it. But I said, when Rangers came up, in a way, they're overachieving because they're still in the top two, top three. But see, when there was warning signs there, we should have been like that when Rodgers left. Most should have been like, right, we can't take any chances. When they put us at the Scottish Cup semi-final penalties, Dyler, he owned up. He went, right, end of season, I'm off. I think after Rodgers went, Celtic could have been more clever. It came out that Lawwell gave Lennon the job in the shower.
I know.
Oh, you're like, ah. Right, all right, I have fun and games. But then, like me, on that day, I was like, oh, yeah, Dan's got a job. My mate Chris is like, Jack, this isn't good. I went, you got a chance, did this. I was like, yeah, all right. But after that season there, I was like, need to give him a chance. Because you feel for the guy, I know, but it comes to a point, it's too much, and you feel like he's ripping the arse at the club as well, as if he is bigger than the club, and that's not the way to go about it. And I was saying last week, I want a new manager to be in for Monday, this week here, so when we played it, Libby would have a new guy for him, but it didn't happen, and I don't think it's going to happen unless he goes. People are saying, suspended Betts on Eddie Howe. Mm-hmm. To become next manager. So,
is that 20 people went and bet Eddie Howe?
Exactly. It means nothing, doesn't it? But it's.
Doesn't it mean anything? He's sitting in a Celtic press conference with a Celtic Jacob on, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly.
Because
it'll happen soon.
Until I actually see the guy there in my own eyes.
I think it's going to start to affect Lennon's mental health and all, which you don't want. And see when the fans, I don't know about yourselves, right, but I didn't go down right. I just thought, you see people's point, but I think that's made the situation worse. I think the board are being like, off. Now, stuff a lot easier, no sacking them. As if they'll give in to the fans. So I think, see all the riots, I don't think that helped the case whatsoever. I think they'd have looked like they gave in to the fans if they let them go in. I don't think that. You can see people's point for doing it, even though it's a bit shocking what happened and that, but I don't think that's helped the case from still being at the club, to be honest.
I think that's an excuse to tell you they were not buying them off. That's my own opinion.
Isn't
it? I think he's not going to walk, as you've said, Jack and Robert. He's not going to walk because, in the day, he's got a family, as you say, Jack. He's got bills to pay. If he leaves that job without a compensation package, but he's not got a job, and especially the current climate. And see, Martin and Pester Pine, don't know what you used to think it, but I think he's going to find it very hard to get a big job again. Because for me,
unless he goes like Asia or something, because
he's inherited a very, very talented squad of players, in my opinion. You've only really two or three players really missing for last season. No, if any, actually, to be fair. And you've added, so he's took care realistically of Brendan Rodgers team, apart from maybe Sinclair and Armstrong, a few guys, but. He said it was the same training, the same philosophy, but see, right away, I understand he's saying that it's worked for Rodgers, so I'll continue at the end of the season and we'll go. But if he's saying it's still the same, that's no his. He's not put his own stamp on that club. So the club's gone in an old regime, an old structure. And as we've spoken about before, Robert, the structure's got to move. It's got to go forward. It can't keep continuing to, as we've said, be still.
It's not the same training regime, it's not the same tactics, it's no, because he changes his tactics every single week. Rodgers' team was all about keeping ball, possession, try to draw teams out to then push in behind, try to wear them down because Celtic were fitter than any other team. That Celtic team I know is lucky if it lasts 55 minutes and it's blowing a gasket. That's why we have made the most subs in the league of five. Lennon's maximised the subs week in, week out, than any other team in the SPL. And that's only because I think the team's very unfit.
Ronnie Dyler still on to the bench. So go on, sorry.
Ronnie Dyler told you the last time he came in, after Neil Lennon's team, he went, they're so unfit. The fat in their bodies is way higher than ever it should be. He used a lot of sports science. It was Ian Brew and all that in the canteen and things that shouldn't be on the menu that Ronnie Dyler had to bin him and John Collins and put. This is professional football players at one of the massive clubs in the world. and their diets, and not saying their diets, probably diets were all right, but there was things on the menu and just the cafeteria that Ronnie Dyler thought, well, this needs to change, and he tried to change all that, and they did get fitter and better under him. But to me, that's just, that's shambolic. That Neil Lennon let it go that bad, that a guy had to come in from Norway and restructure on. I think the new guy comes in at Celtic's going to have to do the exact same thing, because I think you look at players, if you went through all the stats, sports science, and looked at everything, guarantee under Rodgers' team to Lennon's team, the same players, fitness, running capacity, everything would have dropped, in my opinion, at least 20-25%. And I just think that's just total mismanagement, shambolic. It's a car crash waiting to happen. And now the car crash has happened, and this is the aftermath of it all.
I definitely agree, Robert. Because obviously, that's what he says. He's saying he's in training and this and that. But you kind of lie to the fans. The product on the park tells you it's no the same. It's no, you're changing. See, after the Scott Brown's interview the other day, obviously says about the protocols, right? He says he went to Dubai last year and worked on the 3-5-2, and that's how they played it in the last season. It worked brilliant. Then he says they worked on like the 4-4-2 diamond and the 4-3-3. He played four fucking, he played one up front fucking up yesterday.
Aye.
And see, for me, lads, I don't know about yous. I don't know about yous, lads, right? But I've spoken about it all the time. One man up front and against anybody in Scotland for me is embarrassing. It's criminal.
Sally,
I don't know. Rodgers done it, but he had the two guys at the side, so it was a three up front, really, when you were going forward. See, I mean, the ball goes up to, if it is as well, Griffiths, whoever it is up front. See if they flick it on, there's nobody there. It's a lost cause all the time. I hated, as I spoke about Robert, I hated one man up front myself. I hated playing it because you're isolated, unless the ball's at your feet. That's it. And Griffiths kind of went into challenge in America, because I think, for me, I think Griffiths is finished. He's no sharp enough anymore. Again, it could be down to coaching, Rob. If it's Eddie Howe could get him sharp again, brilliant. But a lot of it's got to change, and especially the fitness. You can see they're no fit, can't you? Jack, you can see they're no fit.
See, you're saying about a Jay who's no fit. Is that... Of course, he needs a minutes, but is that a case at training? He's no putting a graft on the effort, and Len's gone, I'm not putting you to the weekend. When he comes on, sometimes his first touch at times, it's terrible. And he just goes in a half right away, and that's his seed done. And he's on loan for the last 15 minutes, so you know it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. At the start of the season, we got away with it. I think he scored last minute at Neil End, Dundee United, a few goals at home, but we were only playing good, and people are, oh, it's fine, we're winning, and we're getting there, do you know what I mean? But after a while, teams figure you out, and when they did figure us out, it was for there, like Duffy, when we played Tibbs, I think we beat him, was it 3-0 at Parkhead? But remember that game, Nisbet was shoving him off the ball and all that, and I think it was the day or 2 days after he signed, he was playing Ryland and he captained him. Don't know who it was, I watched it was an away game, but he caused a goal, but he also scored the equaliser, I think, for Ireland. Remember me?
Bulgaria, wasn't it?
Bulgaria, that's the one.
Aye.
But it was... And I was like, wow, I hope this is just a one-half. And then after that, I mean, it was terrible. It was a shame. And after that, it was just... Was he scored a few goals, didn't he, for us when the first game? Mm-hmm. He was looking a bit rusty, and then just was to prove that that's the way he was, really. And Ajay and Klimali, you feel bad from fair play to Klimali at first. He said he wasn't strong enough and he couldn't get by during that training. And after locked the note that he bulked up, he got the skin heat and all that. I just don't think they're Celtic players. And I was actually watching a thing on YouTube today. It was like Celtic, like duds. It was saying Giant, saying the last few chances. It just popped up because I was watching something before it. And the money we spent on like Ibuki, Atsi, and other players, you're like, yeah, that could all add up to, instead of paying 2-3 million for a few guys, pay 8-10 million maybe for the one guy a season and go for it. I think we signed too many maybe sometimes. I don't know. It's
too many like, projects.
Signed guys on the day. See, when... Again, when Rangers signed up Kemal Roof, I was a bit annoyed because I would rather we got him. I watched that Leeds or Nothing documentary and see the year Leeds didn't go up. He was our main man, him and Bamford, but he was better than Bamford. And I was when he signed him, I was like, oof. And look at the amount of goals he's got this year when Morelos has been playing for him. Again, no black bloke smoke up their ass, but difference like that, the signings, instead of signing somebody like a Jetty, who's no did it since he was at Anderlecht. He did it at Leeds, he did it at Anderlecht. and now he's doing it in Scotland and all. So recruitment, coaching, just about Everton, isn't it? It's brutal. And it's gotten, I didn't talk about it. I just want to have a, if you don't laugh, you'll be eight times at it, but it's no good. No good at all.
I think we've spoken
about that. That's why I've not been able to listen to them.
I think actually we've spoken about Robert, hasn't it? The recruitment side, it's been very poor.
Aye, Ryan, it's we talk about it probably every single podcast now, man. You run out of things to say on it. There's just too many projects, and they think signing all these projects at £2 million, if you get two belters out of 10,
sign
great,
the present, man. Fantastic.
Not mean it's fucking projects. In years gone by, we do have the odd good one and the odd cracker, but you really need to do your homework on players now. For a young age, you need to see what mentality they've got. Will they last in the goldfish bowl, as they say in Glasgow? You need to really, really, really do your homework on signings now. As Jack says, they go and sign a guy like Kamal Roof, who has proven throughout his career he can score goals, and they got him for a no bad fee of $4.5 million, I think it was. And the guys came in and done. We have no signed anybody in the last 18 months it's come into Celtic and went into our first team and improved us. So that's the difference. We've signed loads of players who have came, maybe folk are going to improve us, but have none of them have come in, and it's a lot of wasted money and a lot of wasted money signings, wages, and the new guy who might come in might not fancy these guys. That's a big massive rebuild in the summer, but the news got to be the time the manager's got to come in, because the manager's got to come in very, very soon. Look at that squad, tell you what he needs, tell you what he wants to get ready, and they've got to get the fans on board, because the season book renewals are up soon, and the way it is now, thousands will only renew it. So the Celtic board are playing a Russian roulette here. They really need to sort it sooner rather than later, mate, because we can't keep coming on and depressing ourselves of how poor we were, same tactics, same spiel coming out in the media with Neil Lennon. Very disappointed, very disappointed. Thought we played okay, thought, and you're going, this is it's like a pre-recorded message. He's done every interview. It's just
too much that's news, man.
It needs to change, mate. It needs to change.
You see, after the game yesterday, he says he thought he played no too shabby. Come on, are you joking, man? You can't kid the fans on, and you can't kid yourself on. Just be honest and say, as you says, he says in October that he says if it derails any further, I'll hold my hands up and walk away. Well, Neil, that should have happened after the Rangers game. It should have happened in Ferris Barros. It should have happened.
Getting beat 4-1 twice, face, but it's so many you could write a big
It was a car crash waiting to happen, and for me, it's no different than just been this season or last season. It was obviously when Ben Rogers left, but see the season Rangers went down, we should have totally progressed and spent money. And again, as we've said, they fell asleep at the wheel. Complacency. That's what's killed us, in my opinion. Complacency is totally killed us. The board thought, we'll learn all days, we'll get us to 10, then that all days. I'm sorry, Desmond and Lowell, but it's no working, because it's clearly what you thought. It's not going to happen, because as you've said, Jack, it's going to hurt. 10, we've went for 9, 1-9, says up for 10 perfectly. You've spent a bit of money thinking right, and we've not really gave any shot at it at all. And any Celtic fan, it doesn't matter if you're a big Celtic fan or a wee Celtic fan, it doesn't matter how high you're passing with Celtic, it's going to hurt you. I don't care. It's going to help you for a long time. I'm going to get back last draft on my Rangers pals. You said 9 years of hurt. I'm going to get it, mate. My Twitter and Facebook.
Don't know how they could take it, man. Mate, it takes 9 days.
obviously, the league's about finished, right? But seeing until they get a hold on that trophy, my Facebook, Twitter, and everything's going to ask me for 2 days, mate, because I'm going to explode. My phone's going to go off. Aye. Mate, that's the thing I know. Some fans were going to book Vegas and Santa Ponza for 10 in a row.
Yeah, I was lying on, mate. But that's what I'm saying. See, we didn't just think we had it one horn, right? But the players maybe had that mentality. So like, we've got this, we'll go do it. I don't know, maybe they thought He didn't realise that expectations
are management.
Exactly, mate. The motivation. It's Kyrie, you go and play for Celtic. You play for Celtic, good money. It needs to be a bit evident, doesn't it?
You see, as well, Robert, you were talking about about the fans. I totally agree with you, mate. Because see, Rangers fans, they've got a short memory. Tavernier knows the best right back in the world. Last season, they were hounding him. Hounding him, get himself, get his hopeless, can't defend. And then now, because he scored a few penalties and he's doing well, he's listen, I'm not going to sit here and slaughter Tavernier because he's done well this year. No denying that. But as you say, when they had fans, there was nothing each after 20 minutes of a boo. Okay. And a lot of people, I've said it before, Gary Holt's a neutral. And that's what he says. He says Celtic fans get their team on side, try and help their team. Rangers fans just basically slaughter their team, and it's a very bad atmosphere. And that's a guy, and that's a neutral saying that. So he's not just saying that for the sake of it, in my opinion. But I do agree with you. I think the fans, I don't agree with Lawrell saying it's affected us in Mace, because it's not. It's affected every club, as you say, Robert. All these wee teams can't play, junior teams can't play, amateur teams are not playing. So, but as affecting it, again, I think the players are used to getting to 60,000. It's as a bit of level when you're going to Hamilton and there's no fans.
See, now, but see if you're the capability to play, say, let's see, going out to play in front of one person or 6,000 person, people saw it should be a canter for you. You're playing with Celtic, you should be like, right, you're out the road, we're Celtic here, we'll teach you a lesson. Like, in a way, so doesn't really seem to be fair. That Tavernier, maybe other people in his position will let. In a way, he's got boys, or a stick, he's got the biggest season. If for Rangers, it'd have been the biggest embarrassment for Celtic, biggest achievement. He's trained and he's stayed and trained a club, so you don't want to see it, but in a way, you need to say fair play to them, do you know what I mean? But in a way, 60,000 or zero fans, you're playing with Celtic, you should be able to go and beat anybody at home, do you know what I mean? Whether that's League or Europa League, a decent standard. So I think maybe as fans, we're just using that as an excuse. I think if we weren't the ground, it wouldn't happen, because everybody would be off their seat, shouting and bawling like mad. But you're playing with Celtic, you should be able to beat anybody, whether there's no fans there or there's a full house there. Do you know what I mean? And the players certainly can use that as an excuse as well. That's just looking for a sympathy vote, do you know what I mean? If they use that as an excuse.
I don't know what we're saying about the fans, but I do agree with it in a way. I understand your point, Jack. As people might say, it's a bit of an excuse. But as we've said, Robert, everything that could go wrong this season just totally went wrong.
Yeah, but see, when we're signing players, Ryan, this is the... You've got to have the mentality to play for a club, let's say.
No, that's true, aye.
That's where you've probably got to do a lot of background checking players to see what sort of mentality these players have got. Because if we've all played football in our careers, your principle is to go and play at the highest level, play in front of fans. But throughout your career, from a young age, you play in front of your man, da, maybe your uncle, maybe your auntie, maybe 20 people on the touchline. So you aspire from a young age to go and build on that crowd and get better and better and better. So if you've done all that before, you should be mentally strong to go in front of Celtic Park and go, it's empty now. But in my head, I'm going to pretend there is 60,000 here. There is people in my head, my mom, dad's watching on the telly. There is people there in the background who are supporting me and maybe giving you that wee bit extra. Aye, it's going to be very difficult, but it's difficult for every team worldwide. Your Real Madrid, your Barcelona, your Juventus, your Bayern Munich, everybody's in the same boat. But you know what the difference is? These players are mentally strong inside their heads. They just want to go and they win games, and they're switching off of no having fans, because that's what the best players do in the world. I think we do use too much of an excuse on the fans. Aye, we understand we're a very passionate support, but we cannot use that as an excuse for fucking dropping so many points this season. That's been to the management, the players, maybe no playing for them, and probably no signing the right players at the right times as well. So it's a lot of different things that's all just added up to one. It's just, that's what it's come down to, in my opinion.
I can see as well, you're talking about obviously signing guys for the structure and the team and blah, blah, blah. That's why I think you need a better manager and obviously a better recruitment, because as we spoke about in our podcast, guys, like, I know it's not going to happen, mate, but that mould, I like your Ralph Raniak, they all get guys that suit that division, suit the club, suit their personalities, and they look at everything. And I don't know if we do that. If they're going to come in and fit with the guys that are in the squad already, football, as you said, Robert, football's changing. It's not just about signing a guy and getting on your team. You need to know you've got home with the group. If you've been settled in Glasgow, if you've been settled with the, you need, it's, everything's changed now in football. And I think that's one thing we need to do massive. Just on, obviously, the guys we had before. We had Rodgers and his backroom staff. James Madison's interview, have you watched it yet? No?
It was brilliant, mate. It was talking about how
Rodgers and the guy Jack Lyons, the guy Celtic, he was at Leicester now, was analysing his game, how he can get better. And it happened. He says, everything we work on in training, we've done the part. And he says, if you don't play by Leicester or Rodgers' teams, if you're no fit, you don't run, you don't do dirty work. And I think that's what we're missing. We're missing every single bit of that. And it just shows you, I know what, I said on Twitter, people are going to be, oh, he's still a rat, he's this and that. I understand. At the time, he was a rat. You don't want to use that word, but he was. And he left in a situation where it could have been better. We all know that. But you've got to take back and strip it back. Look at the job he'd done. Look at the staff he had with him. And then look at his new. And look where Leicester are. We're challenging for the fucking Premier League. So... I'm not saying you've got to get that standard, but you've got to try and get the best of the best, and we've went for that to Lennon and that management. Listen, Kennedy probably is well thought of. I suppose he's well thought of, but as you say, Jack, you can't bring a guy in for League One to come and play European football.
No disrespect. See, if you're Edward and you turn around, you've got Peter Jakey in the bench shouting like that, it's not a shave in 2 months. No, but, yeah, I know that. But come on. Edward, but like, who's Peter, bro? They won't even know who that is. Do you know what I mean? Half the boys that are here. And going back to like recruitment, that, see, but the video's a big bio on YouTube. He looked like some player who's scoring headers for fun. Mm-hmm. I'll wait till you get this big guy, and I think he scored like 2 goals that turned out to be like 2 Hearts OGs against Hearts, and Phil Stadium was singing bio, bio, and since that, I don't think he got a crack at it.
He scored his first goal in 5 months earlier.
The boy Jack Kendry got stuck as well, but he's actually, I think he's flying, been keeping tabs on him on Twitter and that. I think he's flying in Belgium, and he's highly rated there, mate. So,
you see, but, on Jack Kendry, right?
Aye.
I slaughtered him when he was here, right? I couldn't believe he signed him. I could always remember back to that game against Partick Thistle. He was in moon and moon about, right? But see the hang is, right?
One of Walters.
See the hang is, right? He's no worse than Shane Duffy, the way Shane Duffy's playing. So, I don't think they've got a cost to bring him back, right? I don't think the guy would want to come back because he's playing well. But Jack Hendy's no worse than Shane Duffy. Jack Hendy's no worse than Shane Duffy than now. So, and that's what I say to my dad yesterday. I was talking to my dad about it, and people were talking about Declan Gallagher. For me, it's a big no-no, right? It's not going to improve us. As Robert says, Lowell thinks we're an elite football club, right? Champions League football club. You can't be saying guys like Declan Gallagher who are fucking bottom of the division in the league. That's just my opinion. It might be wrong. But if it means getting him for 6 months, just to stay to the ship for fucking 6 months, because Shane Duffy, I would honestly send him back, because it's going to, as you spoke about the mental health with Lennon, it's going to deteriorate Lennon, and it's going to get worse for Duffy. Again, we don't know what's happened in his personal life. I know he said a death in the family.
No, that's a shame.
That,
you wish him all the best for that stuff.
So,
I'm
not that a geary guy a lot, because I know that might have been playing in his mind this season. And he's probably maybe no get air a lot of stuff outside of football, and it's affecting him. But that's when he should be going to Lennon and say, Gaffer, I can't play. And that's when Lennon's got to have the, how do you say it, the man management to, I know they said they took him out of the situation during the season, but he's not playing well, so you need to take him back out, and you've got to play well sitting there. As we spoke about before, youth development, play him, because he's not really put, in my opinion, put a fit rank. And I think Robert was a big advocate of getting him in and just giving him a game and see how he is for the rest of the season.
He deserves a chance, let's be honest. Shane Duffy's got to get back in the summer. In my opinion, he should be getting back, you know. I feel like Anoussi should get back, and I feel Waxhawk should get back, because I just feel the league's done. We're wasting money on a week-to-week basis paying these guys crazy wages that we don't really need to pay. We've got enough squad there. to deal with to the end of the season, because I don't think there's going to be a change in management. And I think the Celtic board are now just being kind of cutting away. Oh, we'll assess it at the end of the month. This is the new thing that's meant to have come out. At the end of the month, the transfer window shuts. Mm-hmm. So even if they bring a manager in and the guy wants to go identify two players, can I sign anybody? You'll then need to go with that squad to the end of the season and then look at it for there. I don't know what the Celtic board's thinking, but the disconnect for the Celtic fans and the Celtic board is a way back to the Kelly era when it was sack your board. It's just absolute shambolic. They're good at flogging things when, as she says, when they're doing well, or there's Celtic DVDs, there's treble DVDs, there's this, there's that, there's this. The silence is deafening.
And I fly with it as well, but I fly.
It's unbelievable. Dermot Desmond's never to be seen. Peter Lawwell comes out and makes a stupid apology and then starts ranting about how it's affected us more than anybody else. Sitting there, pure scripted, that they weren't allowed to say anything to him. Jerry wasn't allowed to say anything to him on it. And now they say they would check this on a week-to-week basis after the new year. That's four games now. Three draws and a defeat to Rangers. So what is the board sitting waiting on? I don't get what we're waiting on. I don't know what needs to actually happen. Do we need to go toward at home to Hamilton on Wednesday? Or do we need to lose the next game for Ross County to then go? I mean, I don't know what it's taking to sack this guy. I don't know if this guy's got private stuff of Peter Lawwell and Dermot Desmond doing something or up to something, because he seems to...
On that laptop, Gavin's tracking his laptop.
Aye, they've got Gavin's laptop and A2.
Only fans.
And somebody's only fans or something. Or maybe he's getting him a box of snus getting delivered there. You know what I mean? I don't know. Obviously. But it seems unsackable, doesn't he? Yeah. Just he's coming out in the press and walking out of interviews and telling you he's no leaving the club. He's no, to me, his Celtic legendary status is demising by the day.
It's
people are disliking him more and more every day. You've still got fans that support Neil Lennon CSC rather than Celtic. I don't get that. That just baffles me, that. They support Neil Lennon more than they support Celtic. Aye, we get the guy's done a lot for the club, made a lot of money out of the club through all his troubles and all the stuff he's done, and we thank him for that, and I'd happily let him move on. But every week, I'm embarrassed seeing, I'm getting people sending in group chats, things he's saying and things he's doing, and it's just demising by the day, in my opinion.
Aye, no doing himself any favours. See, like, if Ronnie Dyler... 100%, mate. If Ronnie Dyler comes back to Celtic Park and like presents like a paradise fun photo of half time, we get like a stone ovation or clap and that, Lennon won't be allowed to do that. Wouldn't you know? Fans won't give him the time of day, and it's sad, but he's ruining that himself, mate.
He's ruining his reputation.
Aye, and as a man, sure you'd know when you face up to that, but you love something so much it's hard to walk away. But again, it comes back, he's got a contract and he might just be thinking that, and if he is, then but yeah, mate, today, if you're not getting sacked, the board will pay him out.
Money means more to him than the club means to him, man. And the
exactly, mate. It's, but again, come to the club. The club shouldn't let the full club be in this position now. They should have.
Because I don't think it's... I know a few people were saying, can we afford it? And it's not... See, for me, it shouldn't come to money. At the end of the day, right, we've got... I think Desmond's like the 8th or 9th richest man in fucking Ireland. I know Celtic might not be his major club, but he's still one of the major shareholders. So he's money men, right? What was I said there? What else? Oh, I've lost what I was going to say there. But aye, the money situation. In the summer, we're probably going to sell at least 2 to 3 players, big hitters. Your Christie's going to go. You might get 5 million, say, right? You're not going to get your 15, whatever it was. And Chan might go for 4 or 5. Edouard's going to go for at least 15, probably. Aye, 10, 15. So you're going to have money for a very, very high caliber manager. But are they going to do it? In my opinion, I don't know what they're going to do, because you're trying to do, not just on podcasts and general, you're trying to talk to your pals and your family about it, and you're going, right, what would the board do here? And you're like, I don't fucking know, because the social media, they post it all the time when they're scoring goals and winning trophies. Oh, it's as Robert says, silent. Oh, there's been nothing. There's been no goals, none of the goal angles. There's been nothing like that. It's all been, buy your dairy milk. Let's be lying, Derry Mock, let's go. Nah, I'm no let's go down to there and buying it.
To be honest with you, I do feel sorry for John Taylor because he's taking some abuse. And that guy's, he's actually a nice guy, you know what I mean? He does a lot for Celtic. But the Celtic, the probably board's shutting him out and going, just you deal with the fans type of thing. The guy's probably stressed out his head having to deal with fans. I mean, I know personally a few people have emailed Celtic, guys get 8 season books, families and all that. He's disgusted. He's at the end of his tether. He's like taking him back and he wanted a full refund. And they're like, we can't give you a full refund in that. I don't think he'll be the only one. I think he'll be thousands at that. Just the way the... See, if we went out here and we lost the league with 3 points and we gave it a good go, everybody blah, aye, we were tried our best. Just wasn't meant to be. But we're demising week in, week out. We're drawing with Livingston reserves, let's be honest. They made 7 changes because they've got a semi-final at the weekend that we get knocked out of. Livingston are in the semi-final. Aye, it can happen in football. But everything that's happened around this season, that is happening. So we draw with Livingston reserves 2 each, and he comes out and tells you, we played no bad at football. I'll no be quitting this club. I'll be staying here. They'll need to sack me. And the guy's going, so what do you need to do? And he goes, what I need to do is try and win games. And I'm going, mate, no, you know, you need to pack your bags, clear your desk, and get the fuck out of my club. That's what I was thinking. It's just, I can't even listen to these interviews, but I get sent them off through social media. My mates send me them. I just, he's making me angry at watching Celtic week in, week out. He's wee stupid fucking thing he
imagine
does.
Imagine a Celtic man,
he came on as an angry heat on that, Jack. He just, he never knew, he just came on angry heat at his interview. He's, I mean, the press are lapping it up and taking the piss at him, really, and asking him questions.
Having a field day with it. Field day.
Scotland last night, he walked away from the interview because the guy was asking him questions. To me, that's not what we need at a football club. As you say,
see as well, when he obviously in his interview was saying all that privilege, shy, right? He's in a privileged fucking job. He's in a privileged position that a lot of people would listen. I know I try not to listen to his body phone lines, right? But I'm working today, so I had it on. I was listening to it, and they were talking about how, like, he's maybe got to go now. He's in a privileged position. Well, go. You've had your time. You know you're not doing very well. Go. As we've said before, see if you're not doing well in your work, your bosses give you a warning. If you keep doing it, you get sacked. So he's not had one warning. He's had fucking many warnings since. Probably since Ferenc Varos was. For me, that was a no go back for me. You can't tell players the way to go. But as you say, Jack, Edouard's going to be starting. Edouard's going to go, who the fuck's this can't talk to? No, I mean, but that's the attitude of players. See, these days, football's finished. That's how people talk about Roy Keane for a job. Roy Keane may maybe do well for 3 months, give you a wee kick up the arse, but see, after that, it's going to end disaster. Roy Keane's old school, Lennon's are old school. They're no hands-on on the training ground. They're no any of that sports science. They're no any of that carry on. Football's changed, and you need a guy like, I know I've said, Robert, Eddie Howe's on my Christmas list. I want the guy to come in and just, I think he's no, I'm not saying he's the same as Rodgers, but he's the same mould. He's obsessed with football, counter attack and play. If you score 3, I'll score 4. He's very hands on. He's very hands on.
The young guy who's learned his trade in England and developing year in, year out as a coach. He's took his time out exactly the same as Rodgers took his time out. He's refreshed. He's ready to go. He's ready to go. He's watched a lot of football. He's took his time back. And now, just like Rodgers, he could be the exact thing we're looking for. He's done what he's had today. He's lost games. He's won games. He's got teams promoted. He's got teams fucking relegated. He's learnt a lot in his management team. He's took his time away from it. Now he's probably ready to go for his next challenge. And I just hope it's his rather than a team like Newcastle or something like that. But we'll see us in the future on that.
And obviously, going forward, Jack, if you've got any kind of suggestions about managers, who you think should come in or maybe no come in, again, I'm Eddie Howe, mate. I've been a big advocate of Eddie Howe. I've said to Robert, I've watched stuff about him, and obviously England, he's took Bournemouth through the leagues, and people say, aye, he gets relegated, but that's a very, very hard league, and I know they say he's spending £50 million, but compared to teams in the Premier League, that's fucking what I was spending £10 million here. It's nothing. So again, what's your thoughts on the kind of situation there now?
I think people don't like say that fans only take note what he actually did at Bournemouth, where they were, to what he took them to. Similar what Rodgers did with Swansea, but he didn't start. Was is how did and how far he took them. Everybody knew eventually Bournemouth's bubble was going to burst on the wee stadium at 10,000 or 11,000 again, spending all that money, but nowhere near the budget of the bigger teams. But what he did for them, imagine coming up here and the players he would attract. Mm. And the good thing, if he did come here, he could look at what Rodgers did, 2.5 to 3 years. They're superb, and he might end up going to get a job at Leicester, because by that time, I think Rodgers might be at Arsenal. All right, he's not going to go back to Liverpool, but he could be somewhere else. So that could be in a pathway for him to go on again. I think Celtic fans that don't want Eddie Howe are just silly. I think it'd be a major appointment in the players he would attract. And he's managed in the Premier League year in, year out with a team like Bournemouth. Do you know what I mean? So it's in a way you'd rather that than a team that's only managed a good team, because you know then he can do a half decent job with a basic team. Imagine him and the players up here and the budget up here and who he's playing against. And hopefully we take that into the Champions League football as well. So I would love to see him, and it's my main target. Anyway, people are saying Jack Ross and that, but on paper, I just think Eddie Howe is a man, to be fair.
If I'm even Jack Ross, mate, I would not touch him with a barge pole. No. It's just know the new, maybe in 5 years' time. I know Rodgers says he's our team with the best thing you play against, and all that. Carry on,
that fair
enough.
Enough. So he did, didn't he?
I'm not saying he's a bad manager. I just think for us right now, I think it's a very, very big job. This is one of the biggest decisions since I've been alive, and I say it for the board to make, because if you make it wrong, Rangers should, as the tide could turn, shall we say, they could just go ahead and we can't have that. After having the success we've had, you're going to go, wait a minute, man, we're not used to getting beat. This is why we're all getting up to everybody, because we're not used to seeing our team drawn against them, well, maybe in the odd game, but drawn 3 in a row and winning games and getting put out of first county cup games. I'm not used to seeing that. So I think Jack Ross for me is, at Sunderland he gave up a bit of money and he didn't get him up, and look at they're like Sunderland, don't know what Celtic, but they're a big fish in a small pond in that league. Obviously they've been there for a while, 2 or 3 years now doing that League One, but they're still a massive club, and he didn't get him up with a bit of dough. So for me, maybe in a few years, Jack Ross, but for me, I think you've got to go for, but you see, even the betting doesn't give you an inkling, as Robert said before. Rodgers came in when he was nowhere to be seen. So is it going to be somebody like that, who we're saying he's not got a clue, he's not going to get it, and then boom, he turns up in 2 days' time, he's fucking holding the shelf up.
Would you state David Moyes?
No, I would take him, mate, aye.
Yep. Hey, West Ham fans are very ungrateful for what he's doing at West Ham, to be fair. You always see
him winning.
Aye, they're doing brilliant.
He's took seven teams to a few points off top six.
He's doing brilliant, but they still give him a bit of stick, man, and Twitter and that. You always see things, but no, I think that'd be a good appointment as well, but I think I would probably rather Eddie Howe, but to be fair. You see what you're saying there about the league, people, Rangers fans and maybe some Celtic fans might say we're ungrateful. See, if it was what Rab said, we got to the end of the season, half decent, we only lost the league by maybe 3 or 6 points, that's fair. But it's been for the start of the season to the qualifiers up until now, and it's not got better at all. We're not ungrateful. We're just being honest in what we see. If we were doing decent just behind, but all right, fair play, even better. But good on you, but it's not been the case. Exactly, it's not ungrateful. It's the fact that we're still in a situation, it's fair. October, November to now, and it's getting worse, and it's still in the same current situation, is why the fans are so angry, and obviously why the rights, you know, shouldn't have happened, stuff like that, and the fact that the club's in the same situation, the same coaches, even some same players that are still here, and all I think, see, Kevin Nisbet, that boy's flying. I think that Si Ferry said at the start of the season he would be his main player this year.
Aye, did, aye.
And right away, it was like, fair play, what a call. See, the 1st of January, I would have gave Hibs 3 million for him. Boys like Kamala, not loan him out. See, here's Kamala. You take him at the end of the season. Maybe even say 2 million. Gies Nisbet. The boy's brilliant, and he's Scottish. And he's just going to keep getting better. I think that'll be another miss if we don't sign him for the next 2 seasons as well. the boy's brilliant. I don't know why we don't try and snap him up this Monday. I would have done it the first because the game when we played
the
other week, then you know exactly. But I would have got him right away, and I still will get him now because Ajay and Clamart, they're not going to get, not getting a chance. Griffiths again, his mental health, not right. You wish him all the best for that. But seeing he comes back overweight to training and he's putting TikToks up every day. Do you know what I mean? Don't be making daft fiddles up if you're coming back to say overweight. Have a look at yourself. Again, the mental health side, no, that's a shame. You wish more best for that. Come back. The players need to have a look at themselves as well. Do you know what I mean? It comes for the coaches, but the players need to own up. And again, it comes for everything, for the top or the way down to the bottom. And the fans, I think the fans have been patient for a while. And then obviously, or the carnage happened. Well, at first, we're not playing good. But we'll let them sit on. Eventually, they'll find their own feet. But no chance.
And obviously yourself, Robert, meant to say what Jack said there, and obviously your kind of last kind of thoughts on the managing position of the Celtic.
Yeah, know my thoughts on it, Ryan. I feel it needs to change sooner rather than later, which I've been saying for umpteen months now. We need the appointment in. We need to look at a structure for the club. Might need to have a managing director at the club. We need to have all structured. And this all needs to be going happening behind the scenes now for the start of next season, because, as you say, if we don't capitalise, if we let this go and they capitalise on it and then they get into the Champions League, they could be the tides could have swung in their favour. They could be the ones that are looking at, oh, we're getting to the Champions League, we've got money to spend, they have no money, they've rooted, it could easily swing so easily like that. As you say, the board's biggest decision in a right few years, mate. They've had it too easy now. Now they've got to go out and earn their money and show us what they're capable of doing and what they can actually turn this around. And they've learned from their mistakes. That's the biggest thing. I don't feel we've learned from their mistakes, because the Green Brigade put a lot of banners out and warned them, sleeping at the wheel, everything that was happening. And they didn't take it serious enough.
I agree with you, mate. And then obviously, there's a kind of a sad wee bit today, Robert. Somebody you know, a nice wee message for his family.
A good friend of yours for a few years, Billy McPeak. He was the oldest member of the Green Brigade. Sat in the Green Brigade section. I'll tell you a wee funny story on him. He got banned with the Green Brigade for singing Rebel songs. he was banned for Celtic Park. So he was. But what a character. What a guy. It was actually a pleasure to know him. I just gutted what's happened. He's passed away through COVID. And I'd just like to say my condolences to his family and his friends. And hopefully I can get to his funeral and stuff and pay my last respects to him. He was a wonderful guy and a wonderful person, and I just loved being at football with him and the character of him and the laugh. He was in the AA for a lot of years, but he used to come down and sit in the pub with us and drink his Iron Brew, and just a character, just old school character, massive Celtic fan. Lot of respect for him. Took us over to Dublin, stayed at his daughter's house for the Celtic Liverpool game. He'll be sadly missed. And there's a lot of Celtic fans through Twitter and Facebook and all. I'd just like to pass my condolences on to his family.
That's a nice touch, mate. Everybody who's on the podcast and deals with the podcast, we send our condolences at this very sad time. And also, Jack, you were mentioned before you came on that you do a bit of coaching. How did you get involved in that, and how are you enjoying it now?
Hi, it's good, mate. Cheers. I was at college years ago, and obviously I was enjoying it and that, but then I thought, oh, I was going to be a PE teacher at first, but I thought, nah, this isn't for me, or the essays and all that stuff. So I just thought about starting my own coaching thing. I got involved coaching my primary school team, and I took it for there, and then just built my own business type. So I do like private coaching sessions, and I work in schools and all that too. Fair enough, I was actually working with Celtic. I was working with the foundation, doing many programmes with that, but then, COVID kicked in. So I've not been doing that for a while because we weren't allowed back in the schools and all that, of course. So I enjoy it, mate, and enjoy it doing that and a bit of effort on that. Then started working on the streets as well. So, mate, what's up, isn't it?
Aye, as I said, mate, after this, we'll shove your, you know, your line coach if anybody's interested in kind of contacting Jack about coaching.
Cheers, or, I appreciate that, mate.
Even just a wee bit of advice about maybe starting a business up, mate. It's something to, somebody to talk to, then fire away, lads. And obviously,
brilliant, cheers.
You can come on, boys. It's been every week we come on now, but definitely we come on. It's, as Robert says, you know, you don't want to really use depression because obviously depression is a bad thing, but you do get a bit depressed on with it. And again, it's good to obviously get your thoughts on the recruitment side, Jack, and what should happen, because it's good to get different people's opinions on things, because obviously people might get sick of me and rabble on this talking shite. So it's good to get different opinions, and I appreciate your time, lads. But that's us this week.
Well, cheers, lads.
I'm following our podcast. We'll be back on soon. Obviously, no game this weekend, but we'll come up with something and we'll give you something to listen into. But thanks for your time, lads. Jack, Robert, take care, boys. Cheers.
Cheers,
tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.